episode of the Garment Decorators Podcast. Hello.
I'm Ollie.
How are you?
Helpful. Educational.
Research the heat press.
The best podcast conversations we have had.
My business called John McGonagh Design.
With Matt from Print Pro UK.
It's nice to be here.
I have loved this episode. If you're a garment decorator, welcome to the crew. Emma, hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Yeah, good, thank you.
Welcome to the Garment Decorators Podcast.
Thank you for inviting us.
No problem. Super excited to have you here today. Ever since you came to the Winter Warm-Up event, I've wanted to have you on because I got a little inkling about your business, but obviously there's so much more to you and to your story. So yeah, I wanted to really deep dive into it in the episode today. So thanks for coming in.
Thank you again.
How are you? How's life? How's business been?
Yeah, busy, which is good. We've been doing quite a lot of different things. We work with quite a few football teams. Mm-hmm. So obviously their seasons are starting to come in there because they're more American football teams.
Yeah.
But that's been going well. We're doing a lot with theatre groups.
Yeah, I want to get into talking about that.
And
yeah.
Obviously leavers as well has been.
Which is one of my favourite topics of conversation, as everybody knows. So before we dive deep into all of the different arms to your business and the different areas that you like print and embroider for, take me back to the very beginning when you first started your business and how it came about, because it's a very interesting story.
Okay. It started off originally, I just started making glitter and diamante glasses, decorating them for friends and family. And then I bought my first little silhouette cameo, which I got off of eBay secondhand.
Lovely.
Just to start doing little vinyl bits on them as well.
Which and you've then, still got, I take it?
Yes, we've still got. Yeah, that's we are planning on getting that mounted and put up because it was where it all started.
Oh, that's
from.
Such a good idea.
And then friends and family started asking me to make them as gifts for their friends and family.
Yeah.
And then we started getting into a little bit of doing decorating on T-shirts, which started off originally with a bit of vinyl and also the vinyl with paints as well. So using them as a stencil and using clothing paint.
Oh, okay.
And doing those.
That's a new one.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yes, yeah, so that was a little bit different because I hadn't really learnt much about heat transfer vinyl then.
Yeah.
So I was using normal sign vinyl to create a stencil, stick it on a T-shirt and using paints.
Do you still do that?
No.
Oh, that's such a good idea. Such a cool idea. I have actually seen, now you've said that, I've seen a couple of things on socials where they do that and then they like spray garment dyes on it.
Yeah, it gives it that sort of like tie-dye but graffiti look, yeah. I guess.
I'd not heard of that until now. That's so cool.
And then we found the clothing vinyl and started using that. And our eldest son plays American football.
Mm-hmm.
And we started going down and watching him play, but there wasn't really much stuff for the spectators and the fans to wear.
Mm-hmm.
And the few online stores that did stuff for them were very restrictive on the sizes as well, being large and AD, very difficult to get something. So we started making our own stuff to go down and
just
support
for
him.
You guys.
Yeah. And then the team approached us about making some caps for them.
Okay. That was the first thing they ever approached you about, was hats?
Yeah, it was for the team to be able to just wear some caps because they had a national championship that they was up for.
Yeah.
And they wanted them all for the like the visors and that, just with the simple logo on. And it just sort of branched off from there and grew from that side of it and started doing more and more, which was fantastic. And now we supply the whole team with all of their merchandise. And through that, we've now gone into other teams within the American football scene.
So one tiny hobby, well, not tiny, but one hobby that you were like, oh, it'd be cool if we had some branded stuff, has literally changed your entire lives.
Yeah, so we started that about 2016, roughly. 2017, we officially registered the business. We used to be officially Touch of Glass.
Yeah, you had a different business name.
But then my husband came up with the idea of abbreviating it. Now we was doing clothing and we abbreviated it to TOGS,
mm-hmm.
which was also quite handy because you put your TOGS on. So it worked quite well for that. So, yeah, so that's sort of grown really nicely.
Yeah.
And then in 2018, I managed to quit my first time job or my full-time job.
Before we go into that story, let's talk about the bet that you had, because this story is one of my favorite things. So tell the listeners about how you decided to give up your job and go full-time.
Okay, well, we'd been invited down to the team that we work with, the London Blitz, to go and sell their merchandise for them on a game day. And I wasn't overly happy in my current job. We was getting more and more business on this side. And my husband turned around and said, right, if we do £1,000 in sales today, tomorrow you're going in and you're handing in your notice.
And you did £1,000.
And we done, I think it's
shushed it down real quick.
Yeah, about 1500.
So the next day.
So he was like, that's it, tomorrow.
And how?
And I did, and I walked in after 9 years of being there, handed in my notice.
What was that feeling like?
Bit of both. It was very scary. Obviously, it was a full-time job. We had young child at the time.
So it's security, really big, isn't it? Security,
it was.
Stability.
I mean, luckily enough, Colin was still working on the underground and was earning reasonable money there. And we knew that we could generally cover the bills with his wages. Mm-hmm. So
it's still a big change, though, isn't it? When you're used to having two
full-time
income. Exactly.
We had childcare issues and things like that as well. But being able to work from home was brilliant, for example, with our son as well. If we needed to take time off to be able to do childcare, etc., just giving us that flexibility.
Yeah.
But also just your mental health as well. When you're in a job that you're not overly happy in,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to now do something full time
that
you
love.
Actually love.
Yeah. I think we can all relate to that one.
Yeah. It's very rare now that you actually wake up in the morning going, oh God, another day of work. It's actually, okay, work. Yeah.
I genuinely, I feel like a lot of people don't believe me when I say this, but I love what I do for a living. And I wake up every morning excited to, maybe not every morning, there are some mornings where we're like, I don't want to get out of bed. But 9 times out of 10, I'm excited to come to work. We get to do cool stuff like this, the events that we do, like, this is a great industry to be a part of.
Yeah.
And I know that I've been in a job before, and I know Beth's been in a job before. And like you just said, where you weren't overly enthused to go to work and you were like, oh, I could do with changing it up now. And the fact that this industry gave you the opportunity to be able to go and do that is amazing.
And it's being able to do something different pretty much every day that you go in.
Yeah.
Every job that you do, it can be so different. Even if you're doing repeat jobs, because it's different times throughout the year, it's so different. And the creative side of it all is fantastic with it all as well. Yeah. So, yeah.
Tell me about when you decided to bring your husband on board and how that decision came about. So you were risking a little bit of uncertainty by giving up one full-time salary to go into your side hustle. When did you decide it was a good idea to give up both and go all in?
Well, I was doing more of the printing side. Colin does the embroidery side of the business. Mm-hmm. So he'd actually been doing, as well as doing his full-time job, he was doing bits of embroidery. We had a little single needle embroidery machine to start off with. Then we got offered a chance of getting a larger customer. And we was like, okay, we need to take the step and get a bigger machine to be able to deal with the quantity.
Yes, yeah.
And that's when we got our first six needle.
So it was more a case of like, you got the order and you were like, well, we know this will pay or start to pay for this.
Exactly.
And in order to do it efficiently, we need to.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So we made the choice to get that machine. And then when Colin turned 50, he had the opportunity of taking his private pension.
Mm-hmm.
So we took that side of it all. And again, his pension that he now gets means that it generally covers the majority of the bills still. It's only like the shopping and things like that, the added extras on top. And it was, again, it was his mental health. He was really unhappy in his job.
Yeah.
There was lots going on, and it was sort of, we needed to make that break. We knew we was losing a big chunk of income, guaranteed income every month as well. It was just for the pair of us getting rid of that side of the stress that you just didn't need. And we could just do what we needed to do, when we needed to do it, and how we wanted to do it.
Don't get me wrong, everybody, it would be great if everybody had more money and a bit more freedom, because I know money doesn't buy happiness, but it does buy flexibility and it buys freedom.
Exactly.
But if you're not happy in what you're doing every day, you only get one life, and it's not as long as everyone thinks it is.
Exactly.
We're getting very deep. This is a very deep part of the podcast. So yes, you decided to bring Colin on board to the business.
Yeah, so that was 2021. It was just sort of coming towards the end of the main outbreak of COVID, which was great because he turned around, he was about to go into his last couple of weeks, and he was like, wouldn't it be a shame if I got COVID now? Next thing you know, he got COVID.
No, so and then you couldn't go in. Oh, that's so funny. Well, it's not funny, but you know what I mean?
He didn't even get to go in because of COVID.
So, What a shame. Oh, so you just had to go togs by him a full time then?
It's a lot of people question what it's like working with your husband.
Yeah.
We do, because we both focus on slightly different sides of the business.
You're not doing each other's work, you're not in each other's pocket.
Exactly. We obviously help each other out where we can on certain bits. I mean, Colin's fine at doing all the printing side of it. It's just me.
Colin.
it's just me on the embroidery. I haven't got a clue. But we do help each other out a lot. But then majority of the time, being honest, we've got our headphones in. He's got his podcast on.
I've got
something going on. And we just get on with what we need to do.
Mm.
And it works really well.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
As long as it works for you guys, that's exactly. All you can ask, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think there's definitely a large part of that. I mean, as I say, Beth and I work together every single day, but there are days where we don't even speak to each other really, aren't there? Because we're both, like you say, headphones on, concentrating.
Exactly.
It's not, you're not in each other's pocket all the time. And
no.
How nice that on your coffee breaks, lunch breaks, you can have that time together where you wouldn't normally, you'd be at work in an office or
yeah.
It's just, yeah, nice extra time you can spend together.
Exactly.
So talk to me about your theatre community jobs that you've got.
Okay, well, yeah, we've been working with quite a few different ones now, and it's really good because they actually, a lot of the cast and crew quite often then go on to do other shows, and they quite often then get asked, oh, where did you get that hoodie from?
Yeah,
so I've started
yeah.
getting a lot of referrals that way. But we're working with a lot of the local amateur dramatic groups, which generally started from one group, which I do all of, they do it for kids, et cetera. So they have classes every week and I was doing their uniform and they started putting on shows. So I was doing their show hoodies and that for them, which is great for the cast and crew. And then they get to advertise the shows when they're out and about. And it's just sort of grown from there. And
yeah.
We've got into a lot of the local theatres now with quite a few different groups. I think in the last 6 months, I've done about 9 or 10 different theatre productions, which has been absolutely
yeah.
fantastic.
What was the first order you had in that sort of market? How did you get into
it? I think the first, it was literally, as I say, it came from one of the dance and performing arts groups that I work with when they put on their show. And I think that was, Matilda was one of the first ones that I done.
Okay, it's one of my favourites.
And then they've gone on and a couple of girls actually run that group. They also then go in their own amateur and they go to the local theatres.
Okay.
And they got me in there. I think one of the first ones I really done for that was Shrek, which was fantastic.
Oh, I bet that was a fun one.
It's one of my favourite designs that I've
got. What was it? What did you use?
It had their names on the front. It had the S from Shrek on the front and their names was written in the same font. And then on the back, it just had the big Shrek logo, again, with their character or crew name
yeah.
on the back and then the dates and et cetera of the show and the location.
Oh, that's
of the
amazing.
Show.
I'd be doing that in Green Flock.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was a great one. But at the moment, we're doing Legally Blonde for one. We've just finished
it's
doing
so
Age
fun.
Of Rock. School of Rock we've done on some varsity jackets, which
yeah.
looked absolutely fantastic.
That is so much more like entertaining to print every day
yeah.
as well. Like, don't get me wrong, I know fulfillment is a massive part of a lot of print businesses. And that's great. It pays the bills. It helps you grow and expand. But 9 times out of 10, the logos are like white on black t-shirts, which
yeah.
is fine. It's what people need. But how fun to be able to do shows like that and
yeah.
be creative and just the joy when you sort of see the finished product and you're like, this is so great.
Yeah, one of the other ones we've done recently, it was on black and it was a white, generally on white print, but it was Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, I bet that
so
was
it was
stunning.
The Beast holding the rose, so the only bit of colour you had was just the rose petals.
Oh, nice.
But it looked so fantastic
yeah.
on the design and it really stands out.
Yeah.
So yeah, even the most simple colour combinations can just look absolutely fantastic and jump out.
Have you had any requests or popularity with glitter with those designs, the glitter vinyl?
I do. I've got a couple of dance groups that I work with that they love the glitter.
I mean, that is just the perfect industry for it, isn't it?
Yeah, I love it. I mean,
she's wearing it. She's modelling the glitter. Lovely.
So anything that I can add sparkle to, then I'm over the moon. So yeah, I try and there's quite a few that I work with that they like it, especially a lot of dance groups and some small businesses where they like the bit of glitter because it's a little bit more eye-catching. It stands out.
So
yeah.
My favourite. What's your favourite colour?
I think the silver holographic is actually one of my favourites.
Interesting. What's your favourite?
I quite like the copper.
Mm.
Like, it's quite warm.
Yeah.
What about you, Colin? Got a favourite glitter colour?
I haven't, but I think it's worth mentioning Mike and his bike.
Oh, yeah. We've got one of our customers.
Mike and his bike. That's a great intro to a storyline, isn't it?
One of our customers, he runs a removal company, but he is a massive motorbike.
I was going to say, how is this related to glitter?
Well, he came in to have a look at some stuff for uniform.
Okay.
For him, and he just saw all my rolls of HTV glitter.
Yeah.
And the jars of glitter I've got for when I do glasses and things like that. And he was just drawn to them. And next thing I know, we're doing him a T-shirt with a big Spider-Man in glitter, like design. But his bike itself is completely glittered.
That's so cool.
He does it all by hand himself. So he's
the glitter that was on his t-shirts and that we did for him. And his helmet as well.
Yeah. It's a whole lot. He's sparkle mad.
That's the first time I've heard that one. That's new.
What a niche way to get business.
I know. It's fantastic.
So basically what you're saying is you need to have your glitter vinyl rolls just on display permanently to draw people in.
Love glitter.
Yeah, just coat the front of your house with it. You're not renovating. Just do the front of the house all in glitter.
My lounge has got a bit of glitter.
Has it?
Yeah. So we've got the picture rail that goes around that's got silver glitter all on that.
Oh, I love it.
Fireplace.
Brilliant.
It's got fire. It's got glitter on that.
We love some sparkle.
As a decorator, you do start to lean towards like shiny and like magpie-esque finishes.
Oh, he's very magpie, I'd say.
Yeah, I've got glitter threads as well.
Oh, I bet that is really cool. Yeah. Oh my goodness. We're going to come back to that because that's a really good conversation. So when you're decorating for theatre companies, you get those orders in, what does a typical order look like for you?
Generally, there are around about 30 to 40 hoodies, sweatshirts, t-shirts.
Okay, so a decent size
order with them. And they can range from kid sizes up to adults.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a mixture generally of hoodies, sweatshirts, some t-shirts, depend on the time of the year that they're doing the shows.
Did you tote bags?
Yes, we've done a couple of totes for them as well. Some people, they don't really want to wear the hoodie and that, but then also they still want to wear
the hoodie. They want to feel a part of the gang. Yeah, exactly. Want to feel included.
So we've done a few tote bags for them as well. And it's just another way of, as I say, advertising them, because we're all about wearing your brand. So it's the best thing to do.
Yeah, that's what your Instagram says, isn't it? We help you wear your brand. Yeah. I think that's a great tagline.
And the way we look at it, I mean, we've had coats and that we wear, and I've had people stop me in the middle of Tesco's and Lidl's and like, oh, have you got a business card on you? Because they've just seen that we do the printing and that. So that's been fantastic. And that's where the Wear Your Brand came from.
Pick up business on your weekly shop. Yeah. Brilliant. Love that.
Advertise your business while you're out and about.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
Free advertising.
Can I set the traffic
back
lights away? Yeah. Just say, I've just taken a photo of your car. I'll call you on Wednesday.
We actually had someone stop us and ask for a business card in traffic. And we're there.
Really?
Business card.
You just need one of those like cash guns. You just fire them out across like the standstill traffic
into
on the M25.
Open windows.
Exactly. Yeah. At what point do you start leaving notes on people's car, like in the middle of Tesco's car park?
A couple of leaflets.
Is that illegal?
I don't think leafleting.
Don't
is.
Know. I don't.
I don't know if it is on a private car park. It might be a little bit.
Yeah, public car park though. No.
Eh, well.
If you ever do it, let us know. So let's circle back to the different sizing and order quantity for the theatres. You said it ranges from children's all the way through to adults.
Yeah.
How do you go about adjusting the sizing for the children's through to adults? Because even a small adult to an extra large adult, the t-shirts are significantly different and the prints look different.
Yep.
Sizes might need to be changed. How do you navigate all of that? Because we get asked a lot.
Quite often I generally try and get a plain garment and just get a measurement. I mean, after a while now, you sort of get to an idea of what sort of size is the maximum you can generally go on most garments. But yeah, I just try and get an idea and say, right, okay, these are about an inch different in size, so I can keep those the same. These ones, we're now going a 2 to 3 inch different.
So you need to make it bigger, smaller.
Yeah, exactly. So we just try and make it fit as much as possible and stand out as much as possible.
Yeah, because as I say, you want them to stand out. You don't want them to be too small, but at the same time, you want them to all look fairly consistent. And if they're all slightly different sizes, they're not going to look perfect, are they? So,
but quite often when you have them going from, say, a small and then you've got someone in a 2XL, for example, even though you've made the design bigger, when they're actually wearing it, it doesn't actually look that different, because obviously the garment is sitting smaller on the small person than it is on the 2XL.
Yeah.
So when you actually look at it size-wise on how it measures up, in general across the sort of the back.
Oh, like the front surface area that people can actually see, like this bit here. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Beth is physically miming her front area, just for those of you that can't see the camera. Yeah, because that is something we get asked a lot. And like you said, I don't necessarily think that it needs to be changed every single time. Like from the t-shirts that we wear here, like we have our entire team to kit out for Primer and Promotion that's coming up.
Yeah.
And everyone is a different size, but all of our prints are the same size because they all fit and look good on the garment. I think it's job dependent as well.
It is, yeah. I mean, there's quite a lot. I mean, generally a breast logo, whether it's going on a small or a 3 or 4XL, quite often that's the same sort of size. We keep that the same size going. And then it's only really on the back designs, depending on what the design actually is and how they want it to look. So, yeah.
Have you ever gone to any of the shows that you've printed for and seen your creations in real life, living in the world?
We've been to a couple. We're actually going to an open preview of Beauty and the Beast at the Ware Theatre Group next month.
You went to Cats as well.
Oh yeah, we went to Cats. That was another one that we done. So yeah, we've been to a few of them, which is great, and just being involved with them.
Yeah,
and it's great because a lot of these customers as well, the main people we deal with, they're not really customers anymore. They're becoming friends.
Yeah,
because we've been dealing with them for so long now that they're sort of every day, it's just catching up with them, seeing how they're doing, asking about their family as well, which is fantastic. So,
do you think that has a difference when it comes to your relationship in the business that you get from them?
100%.
In what way?
They become to trust you more. You're not just a face that's just doing these bits for them. You're actually becoming a person to them.
Yeah.
You become more relatable to each other, and you sort of, I think, just because you then feel more relaxed with them and they feel more relaxed with us, and they come to us with ideas more. They know they can be more open with us about, we've got this coming up. What do you think we could do? How do you think we could do this?
Try, test a few things.
Yeah. And we obviously put things, and for example, we might have one dance group or theatre group that we've started doing something different for, and then we'll recommend it to others and say, look, we've done this for them. It's now working really well. Is this something that you want to incorporate?
Yeah, okay.
So it's different things like that as well that works nicely.
I suppose that's the pro of having a similar industry but lots of different designs, because all of the different designs for different shows are, because they're so wacky and vibrant and colourful, they're also different at the same time. So I guess it is a great way of trialing and testing new things and putting that across different customers once you find something that works or looks good. Or
exactly. And it's, as I say, with like the theatre groups, it's been fantastic because, as I say, the cast and that, they go on to different shows and then they might mention the merchandise. And then obviously it's coming my way at the moment, which has been, honestly, I can't thank them all enough.
Yeah. So that's a pretty big part of your business.
Yeah.
How much of your week would you say you spend doing that at the moment? I mean, you've just said you've got a lot of orders from them, so probably maybe more than normal.
Yeah, at the moment it's been quite hectic because it's literally been, because there's now different groups that we're dealing with. You finish one and then another one comes in.
Yeah.
We've just finished. Everybody's talking about Jamie. Mm-hmm. Now I'm about to start the Legally Blonde section going through.
Are they going on pink hoodies?
The Legally Blonde are going on a mixture of pink, grey and black.
Oh, because there's obviously for some, a pink some one of those.
In there. But yeah, so we've got we're doing the JHO ones with those.
Yeah.
So they're having the baby pink and the candy floss pink, the two options.
Oh.
Because some prefer the lighter than the darker.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're going really well. So
now seeing as you've mentioned garments, let's pivot slightly towards your blank apparel. Mm-hmm. How do you navigate choosing the blank apparel that you are printing on? So let's go back to the beginning when you first started out. Did you order a few and test samples? Did you sort of just figure it out as you went with different orders, wear some yourself?
It was probably just figuring it out as we was going along, obviously just finding a nice order, a couple of different bits in, which generally we was ordering from like places like Amazon and eBay to start off with. Now we predominantly deal with Rallowise and Ken Carey. But yeah, just getting those bits in, just trialing them out, seeing the quality, washing them, seeing how they washed, and testing our own prints as well back then. It was just starting off, okay, how many washes roughly will we get out of these to make sure that they're going to last? And then we just started finding products that we knew were good quality and working from there.
Yeah.
And it's not always the most expensive products as good quality as some of the lower price products. You can get some really good quality bits there at a really good price. And some people, they're shocked when you turn around and say, right, it's going to be this much for this T-shirt or this hoodie.
And they're like, well, I thought that was going to be at least double that.
Exactly,
So what would you say some of your favourite T-shirts are? Let's do T-shirts and hoodies because I want to get into levers when we start talking about hoodies.
It depends on the industry, but I'd say general go-to T-shirts for every day are normally the Gildens and the GD001s, which are our basic ones to start off with, but they're a nice, soft quality material.
Yeah.
Then the GD24s, the midweight, is a very popular one.
Yeah. Are they the soft styles?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they're just that little bit thicker and feel that bit
nice. I feel like when you go with something like that, you need the soft style because it just, it does, it takes the product to a whole other level. Like the feel of an original Gildan to a soft style is not, yeah. Like you can't compare them.
And the thing is with the GD1s, they're great for a lightweight, comfortable soft style shirt, but they don't embroider well. But just having a little bit of extra weight on the GD24s, they embroider lovely. Ooh, they embroider lovely.
Have you guys seen the new colours that are coming out in those?
Oh man, yeah.
Yeah.
They're so nice.
I know.
Beth checks on a weekly basis.
I do.
But yeah, so they're probably our main ones there. If we start going into work where we start looking at the Pro RTX.
Yeah, that's a good
brand. We find they're a really nice t-shirt again for both print and embroidery.
Yeah.
And also on the polos with them, they're a really nice quality. And especially when the workwear side that we deal with a lot with electricians, builders, plumbers. Mm. So they're nice, durable.
Yeah, with workwear, they're going to wear them like every day. They're going to be washed over and over again. You need to be sure that, I mean, obviously your decoration is totally fine and will last as long as it needs to, but you want to make sure that the garment's going to stay
exactly
how you want it to, and because you're not making that, you're putting your trust in someone else to provide you with that.
Exactly, yeah. So we do first say because builders, electricians and all of that, their garments are quite a high turnover as well, because obviously they're crawling through places, they snag on them, they do rip them and paint on them and whatever else. So they don't necessarily want to be paying out extremely high amounts of this stuff that they could wreck in a couple of days.
Yeah.
Where obviously the Pro RTX range comes in really well.
Yeah, well, it's built for that, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
And it allows you to price things at a much more reasonable rate, like you say, so that you can still provide them with a quality product that will last, but also you can make a profit and they don't feel like they're paying ridiculous amounts of money for something that, like you say, they're going to ruin in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and we do quite often offer them a couple of different ranges as well. So we give them the option. We say, right, we've got, for example, the GDAA1s on this t-shirt, we've got the Pro RTX on this one, and then we've got the higher range, like a Stanley and Stella or something like that.
The good, better, best, as we say.
Exactly. Yeah. And we give them, build your own brand is another fantastic range that we use. So yeah, it's just giving them the options, because obviously we've got the blank website for all the products on our page, on our website.
Yeah.
But it can be a bit of a minefield for anyone going through trying to work out what t-shirts they want, what hoodies.
Yeah, and I find that if you give people more options, they don't make a decision. Like if you narrow it down and go, is A, B or C, they're like, I'll take B. Whereas if you say, pick from 100, they're like,
I mean, we tend to go on there, especially with a new client, we might say, have a look on there, get an idea of different styles and colours that you might like. And we can then work with you and help advise.
I mean, you've printed on probably most of them at this point in time, so you can help advise them on that. But when you're first starting out, it's probably easier, like you say, for you to stick with the ones that you know and have trialed.
Yeah.
From a confidence side of things, I guess.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, the Build Your Own Brand, the hoodies.
Yeah, they're fantastic. Nice.
They're
some
nice. Really nice quality ones. And we've got a couple of customers now that have been really shocked by the quality.
Mm.
Of how good they are.
Yeah.
I think it's an advantage as well, where we're ordering quite high volumes of a lot of these different garments. If there's a different range that comes out, we can just order an extra one for ourselves and then just see how it wears and just see how it's
comfortable. That's always a good idea, yeah. Order one extra for what you're doing. You can even work it into the cost of that job, really, because it's probably an extra, £4 or £5 per unit at that point when you're dealing with the quantities. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a really good idea. How many pieces of Togs by Emma branded clothing do you have in your wardrobe?
I wouldn't even like to say.
Have you got a whole other wardrobe, another double wardrobe next to your current one, just full of branded apparel?
My mum's really worried about when we're going to be moving in with her soon, and she's quite worried about the amount of hoodies and coats that we've got.
If it's anything like the amount of Styles clothing me and Molly own, we can sympathise. I did have to empty out another drawer the other weekend to start storing some more things. So, yeah.
I think even our kids, they're sort of constantly wearing Togs stuff, because we brand up, we buy him t-shirts and it's like, yeah, we'll just stick a little Togs on there. He can advertise us while he's out.
Yeah, don't blame it. They've got to earn their keep at some point, haven't they? Yeah. Put the big one on the back, little QR code maybe. So let's talk about levers.
Mm-hmm. Love my levers.
I love levers as well. Let's take it back to the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the first ever levers job that you printed?
Yeah, it was actually one of my clients had, I was doing their work uniform for her husband, and she approached me about doing the levers. And I was like, okay, it's not something I've done, but yeah, let me have a look at it. And we was talking through and she was like, I want something a little bit different. And that's when we said, well, how about we get the kids to sign a piece of paper with their signature on it? So rather than just having their names printed in standard, which is what you see on a lot of the generic Leavers hoodies that go out there, they're a little bit more personalised.
Yeah.
And we did. We got all of the 30 students to sign a piece of paper.
That was the first job you did. It was the signature. Yeah. I didn't know that. I thought that that came after you'd been printing the standard ones for a while. Interesting.
That was my very first one that we done. And we did. We got them to sign a piece of paper and I scanned all of the signatures, traced them all to get them all with nice quality.
Oh, my goodness.
Then contacted you guys to print the transfers for them.
Because you did you use vinyl at first when you were doing Leavers? Have you been down that road?
I did look at doing it first of all, but then with the signatures, it was the ability to do the weeding.
Yeah.
Was just on those, it was so intricate on signatures to do that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And it was so time consuming. It was like, do you know what? No, let's go a different route.
Yeah.
That's when we approached you guys for doing that one. And it just made such a difference because it just freed up so much time.
Yeah.
But I was still getting the good quality print out of it,
mm-hmm.
which is what we needed. So.
And the ability with the signatures as well, you can make it that bit more personalised. Whereas the standard Leavers, I mean, there's one behind you hanging on the rail with the text prints. They're great and that's what everybody knows and what a lot of people still want, don't get me wrong. But for smaller classes, for primary schools and things like that, Emma has come very prepared and has bought one with her.
Bought a few, but it was...
See, like, that is just such a amazing... That's such a creative way of doing it. I love that.
And it just meant that the kids were able to put their own personality in something. And it's not then just your standard Leavers hoodie with a name on it. It becomes...
It's got a memory behind it.
It's actually got their handwriting.
Yeah. So at what point did you go from doing the... So you did your signature Leavers first ever job for it. Did you do that and think, oh, okay, this is... a profitable one to add to the business. Yeah. We can expand out, do different schools. How did you then go about expanding that to be a proper arm for the business?
Okay, it was more through networking. Okay. I'm in quite a few different little networking groups with quite a lot of mums, small businesses, sort of they're doing it themselves. And a lot of them are in little PTAs, which comes in handy, just getting them to recognise that we can do this, taking some samples along with us to show what we can do.
It's a big part of it, getting the product in their hands.
Exactly. So just being able to do that, and it's just grown from there. We was lucky enough with our own son last year. He was in year six and was leaving, approached his teachers and said, look, we do this. And they actually came to us, and he's a lot bigger school. There are 90 in each year.
Nice job.
So we did go for the standard print on that one. We didn't do the 90 signatures.
Can you imagine tracing 90 signatures?
It's bad enough doing 30.
It's bad enough as in vinyl, God.
But yeah.
The thing with that, we took the sting out of the actual work side of it, the amount of admin that the school had to do. Because what we did, we just asked the school when they wanted them delivered by, so they could actually give them to the parents themselves. Mm-hmm. But we actually just put the products on our website. Each parent that wanted one, they just ordered one directly and paid for it all. And then we just delivered it to the school.
So it cuts the middleman out of all the in-between, doesn't it? That's a really good way of doing it.
Said it took the stress off the school. It meant they didn't have to organise it and get all the information and the money in from everybody.
Yeah, it's just a case of these are the people that are doing it. If you want one, here's the link to order.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And it went out on their newsletters and all things like that. As well as the going out, so it was fantastic and it worked really, really well.
Is that what you do now going forward? You always put like the links, or do some schools still bulk order
Quite a lot of the schools, they generally bulk order them. The PCA just get everything in, sort it all out.
They distribute all of it.
And then they distribute them all.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just a nice way because obviously having 90 students, it was a lot larger order.
Yeah.
So yeah, it worked well. And that school had actually left it quite late to do everything, so I think...
Well, it's a good job you can get your heat transfers in 2 days, isn't it? Otherwise, that would have been a little bit of a rough, stressful job.
But yeah, I mean, as I say, just the time that it saves getting the heat transfers from yourselves, it's a no-brainer. Whenever we're doing larger jobs like that, even though we have got the ability to do it ourselves because it is only me and Colin doing it. For example, we've just done some other ones that there was 100 T-shirts, which... I know we put sample one in for you.
Yes, you did Ultra Colour. There's a picture, it's actually behind Beth, there's a picture on the T-shirt. So obviously Ultra Colour was the one you went for that. It looks great.
just because of the quantity, there was quite a bit of wording on there again as well, but we needed a quicker turnaround. So for us to actually be printing and weeding and doing all of that would have probably quadrupled the amount of time that we spent doing it.
Yeah.
So it was really nice to be able to do it quite quickly. I think we ordered them on the Thursday and they arrived on the Saturday. So,
and the quality of the picture as well, like,
yeah,
it looks great.
Absolutely fantastic. And it's such a good cause that we're doing these for.
So let's talk about quality for a second. So obviously when you're putting your trust in another company like Stiles to make your prints for you, the quality does come into it because, like you said, you want to be sure that it's going to last. If this is more of like a product that's got memory behind it, like a Levis hoodie is, those students are going to have it for a long time. They're going to wear it. They're going to wash it. It's going to need to stay on there. And especially with whether it be signatures, I mean, there's some fine text, like fine lines on that detail there. But even with the smaller text, like the one behind you, they are quite small and quite fine. Mm-hmm. You want to make sure that they're going to stay on there, don't you?
Yeah. And they do. The quality has been absolutely fantastic. I mean, the one we done for my son, which is that style, he's worn that loads of times and that's been washed through. And it has got that smaller, intricate detail on there. And also when you're doing it on normal vinyl and cutting it yourself, especially one that sort of size, trying to weed it, but also like little dots above the eyes and things like that, they disappear very quickly when you're doing them on a...
Oh yeah, eyes don't exist if you're doing vinyl with levers. No.
Yeah, so it's just so much easier. Mm. And again, I just can't quantify how much time it saves us. But they are really good quality.
Yeah, and especially if you're doing volume, like you said, your son's class was like 90.
Yeah.
Once you get past 10 and 20, the price comes down per sheet as well. So if you were doing a class of 30 versus a class of 90, you're going to pay less for your transfers when you're ordering more.
100%.
Because that's how we've designed it for you guys that are doing volume jobs, that you can make more profit, you can offer a better price to your customers, you can still give them that quality product, but it not, you know, cost through the roof to produce it.
Exactly. And that's the other thing we try and do. Because we are a small business, we try and keep our prices as low as possible because we understand how difficult it is for small businesses to get stuff.
Yeah.
And quite a lot of online custom places that do a lot of this stuff, they might be cheap, but you have to have a minimum quantity that you have to order.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing we say is we have a minimum quantity order of one.
Yeah.
And we will work with everyone on that. We might have some setup charges, etc., just as a one-off, because obviously there is time to get the design and everything ready.
Yeah, it depends what it is, doesn't
it? Exactly, yeah. And it obviously, like with charities and that, we try and chuck in as much free time as we can for them to be able to keep their costs as low as possible.
The charity walk that we've obviously helped with the transfers for, that's 100 T-shirts that you've done in ultra colour. So that's, what, a 12-second application?
Yeah.
That job probably took you an hour to print all of them?
It was front and back, so it was a little
bit... Oh, you did both, okay.
Yeah, and then it was the two lots sleeve on the prints, sleeves as well. So Colin was doing the main print on the front and back, and he had it to a T. He was, pardon the pun. but he was literally just lining them up, print, next
one.
And just then doing the peels afterwards.
Yeah.
And it was just, they were fantastic. They printed so nicely.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good to hear. Yeah. What feedback have you had from your customers, the students, parents, PTAs about the products that you provide for Levers?
Generally, it's always been really, really positive. We get the repeat customer coming back. So
yeah,
from that, I look at it that every time we're getting a new school, generally we get them back the next year as well.
They're very happy with
it. So they're happy with it. So they've obviously been impressed with the quality that we've done on those.
Do you keep a few extra transfers back when you do leavers jobs?
Yeah. I mean, quite often, obviously, when we order from yourselves, there's normally a couple of extra spares in there anyway, which is always handy. Because, yes, a print can go wrong sometimes when you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But then also you might get that straggler that then comes back, or a teacher that says, actually, do you know what? I want one of those, which we've had on the last couple of orders we've done. So that's been quite
always
nice.
Last minute as well.
Yes. I mean, when we done my son's one, it was quite nice having those spare ones that I was actually able to print up tote bags for the teachers as leavers gifts.
That's really
so
nice.
So that was a really nice little thing that I could offer them.
Yeah. That's so great. I've not heard of that before.
Yeah, it was just nice just to, I'd done them little mugs with the same design on and things like that. But then they had a Levers tote bag that they could obviously keep all their stuff in as well.
When you get last minute orders come through that's set, obviously separate to the bulk order,
the customer doesn't know that you haven't had to reorder that print and reorder the garment and all of that. If you've got the stock there, they don't necessarily know that. No. And if you don't, you do then have to place that order again. Do you charge anything extra for last minute jobs?
Generally, no. Okay. We don't. We might do if someone turns around and says, look, we've got this job, it's a fast one, we need it done. We might say, okay, look, we're going to have to work at a weekend or do this to do it.
Yeah.
But quite often, again, we don't often charge that premium for it because if we've got it there and it's all, especially if we've got your transfers that are already done.
And it's going to take 12 seconds to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. We've got the stock in. We normally order from our suppliers for the garments once or twice a week anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because we've only got a small workshop, we order as we need it.
Yeah, you don't want to be paying for storage space.
Exactly. So quite often we can get them in within a few days.
The opportunity is there if you need to, though. Exactly, like you say, if they turn around and go, we need them by Monday, and you're like, that's a Saturday morning job.
Yeah.
You can pay an hour or so for that. Yeah.
It really varies on what work we've got on currently as well.
Yeah.
Because obviously, if we've got loads of work coming on, then
it goes to the back of the queue, or it takes, I suppose, with one garment, it's hard because you're like, oh, I'll just do that quickly. But then if that takes you 20 minutes out of your day to get the design, get the press set up correctly, like all of that, and then you're like, right, now I'm 20 minutes behind on the big job that I should have been doing.
Exactly.
It does affect your day.
It does, yes. So it's just working out where we can sort of squeeze them in, where we can on certain jobs. So, yeah. But we always try and, the problem we have is we don't like saying no to people.
You guys are a small business's best friend.
Exactly.
I think
one of the best ones was recently the one with the, when we were working on a Saturday, and there was the Facebook post about someone that wanted some pyjamas.
Yeah, they'd been let down by a company for some pyjamas for their son's birthday.
Okay.
They wanted the When I Wake Up pyjamas.
Yeah.
And she put a post on one of our groups that we were in on Facebook, asking for help. We reached out, and within 2 hours, we had the pyjamas printed. I had the design done. It was a completely
new 2 hours? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. That's on your Instagram, isn't it? I've seen that.
That is fast service.
So it was literally, and I didn't even have the design. She just told me I wanted a fire engine and something on there. So I just sort of went on. It was a Saturday morning. Colin was working. I was just there doing a little bit of invoicing. So I wasn't working in that way.
Mm.
It was like, do you know what?
How lovely that you can do that for people, though, because take the business out of it, take the profit out of it. That's somebody's child's birthday that they've been let down from a company for. From a personal standpoint, how lovely is that a feeling for you to be able to go, I've helped and I've made someone's day with this?
Yeah, and it is nice. And I think going that little bit further like that, even if someone then would come to us and it might be a little bit more expensive, they don't mind paying it because they know that you generally will go out of your way to help them, that you're not just this generic company that's out there that's just all done behind the doors, and there's no sort of emotion or anything that goes into it. They know they're getting...
Your heart's in it.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to go back a little bit to what you said at the beginning about being creative.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't work in a creative job before you came into this space, did you?
No, I was in... I worked predominantly in telecoms, so it was...
Very different space.
It was mobile phones to start off with, which was fantastic when they were at the start, and everyone just was starting to get them. It wasn't all these online deals, etc. So you went into a shop to generally get your mobile phone deal, and it was absolutely fantastic, and the money was great. And then I left that and started working for a business side of telecoms. So it was telephone systems,
mm-hmm.
going into businesses, etc.
Still not creative.
Still not creative, apart from creating their invoices.
Sounds
about as creative as it got, was doing their monthly billing, because I was the one who took all of the call data that came in from the networks and had to generate their bills.
And now the only invoices you do are your own.
Exactly,
for the
which is fantastic.
You're like, we like those invoices.
Was it? Weird, I mean.
Sorry, Emma, I was going to ask you if it was customer facing in the beginning.
It was, yeah. It was all customer facing, obviously in a shop. Started off as just general salesperson, worked my way up to manager of the shop.
Do you think that set you up for communicating with your customers and building the relationship?
I think so. And I mean, one of the things that always let me down, all my bosses, they always used to turn around and go, you're not pushy enough. You don't close the sale enough. And I'm like, yeah, but a lot of my customers then come back to me and they go, I've come back to you because you didn't pressure me. And I like sitting and just chatting with
you
people.
You do have tactics. You do have an approach. It's just subtle.
Exactly, yeah. But it's not the approach that a lot of the big boss men used to like to see.
Do you find that more successful, obviously, with
your
business?
Yeah, I think I do. It's just building rapport with people. And I think sometimes, I would say generally more with females, they don't like to feel that pressure that they've got to sign something or do it there and then. Mm. They like to be able to, we like to think about things.
Go away, sleep on it. Yeah. Assess the situation.
Yeah, you get, mm-hmm. you get your little rash buys here and there, but then there's other things that you sort of...
Oh yeah, few too many of them.
Yeah, but just being able to sit back and then not feel pressure. I think they then feel a little bit more relaxed and they've made a more informed decision to be able to then come back.
Yeah, and like you said, once a customer has bought from you once and they come back, they know you, they trust you, they build that relationship. So it's not doing all of that over again. Once you start to build that relationship, it's a totally different approach.
And it's not even, they might not even come back and buy again, but just the word of mouth that they've had a good experience with us, that they're then recommending us to other people.
Mm.
And we're getting that recommendation. And I would say that's probably where about 80% of our business comes from, is recommendation.
Mm.
So we've got the website, we've got the social tools out there, but...
Yeah, and word of mouth is still the strongest, especially for like local, like you said, all of your theatre groups, your leavers, your schools, it's all local.
Yeah.
And we talk about it on this podcast a lot, but that is such a big part of any small business is your local network.
Exactly.
And, you know, I think another thing that probably stands you in good stead as well is that you always give new things a try. So we had a conversation before this about if a customer comes to you and goes, do you reckon you could do this? You're like, don't know, but we'll try.
Yeah, and it is. It's sort of, it might be something we haven't done before. And it's like, I'll have a go. I'll try and source it. If I can't, then I might come across or might know someone else that can do it.
Yeah.
And then recommend them.
But how many people would go, oh, no, sorry, we don't do that.
Yeah.
Or, oh, we only do this.
Exactly.
Or, whereas you're like, I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure, but I'll give it a try. Take them along the journey a little bit, maybe send them pictures and go, oh, this is what I've managed to achieve. What do you think? And that all helps towards not only them trusting you more, but building that relationship of what you can do and expanding your business as well. Like you said, you do one thing, it goes well, you take it to all your other customers.
Exactly.
It's trust, isn't it? You're offering them trust and transparency.
Exactly.
Do you think that a lot of people, on a ratio, would you say some people come to you and go, I have no idea, this is my first order? And how many people come to you and go, I've seen this and I want that precisely? Because it's a similar thing with us. We get people that come to us and go, I want DTF prints. And we're like, do you though? Like, you know DTF because it's popular in the space. And we try and help and advise people to get the best decision for their order. Like, I'm not going to sit here and sell you 200 DTF sheets when you could have a better cost per sheet at with UltraColor at scale.
Yeah.
Similar sort of thing.
Yeah, it is. It's, I would probably say, out of the new clients that we get that are coming in, then probably 60% go, I haven't got a clue. 70% say, I don't know. You tell me what we need.
Yeah.
And it's, for example, with the embroidery side, we might turn around and say, okay, you're looking at having a t-shirt. Yes, embroider on the breast, but we wouldn't necessarily advise a large embroidery across the back. Mm. One, because it doesn't feel as nice on your skin when you're wearing it, because it is a big embroidery on the back.
Yeah, scratchy.
It can pucker a little bit more. So that's when we might say we would probably recommend more printing on the back, but we can do the embroidery on the front.
Yeah.
Some people have said they want printed fleeces, and it's like, you can print on certain fleeces, but it doesn't always adhere as well, because obviously there is the moving material behind it. We would then recommend an embroidery, and then obviously we sit there and work out the designs with them on what they're having on there.
I want to ask you about the London Marathon t-shirt that you did. I saw it on your socials, mm-hmm. the running 26 miles for 26 people t-shirt that you did. Talk about that order for a little bit.
Yeah, that was for Hannah. She was actually, she's doing it again this year. But yeah, she'd done the marathon. She was running for dementia for her dad.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, I want to be able to get everyone's names. Now, that one I did hand weed because it was only a one-off print.
Yeah.
It was quite an interesting... actually, it probably wasn't too bad. It was probably only about half an hour. So,
even that fills me with pain. I'm like, I can't.
But it was, there was quite a few. Okay, we've lost the dots here. Let's print off a couple more dots to put in. But yeah, that one, and I didn't charge over. It was one of those things. It was
special order.
Occasion. My grandmother, she had dementia as well. So it meant a bit to me. Mm. So yeah, it was just nice to be able to help out. And when I get those little jobs, sometimes the emotion side kicks in a little bit more, and it's sort of, you sit there and think, okay, I'm not supplying the actual top itself, because she had the top.
It's just the decoration.
It was the decoration that went onto it. And just being able to do something, you know, that's then helping raise money for such a good cause.
Yeah.
And just being able to give back a little bit as well. But yeah.
And like you say, it's the decoration is probably pennies when you think about it. Yeah. And it's your time, which you're more than willing to donate. Yeah.
So, and it was just really nice to be able to do. And she had a picture of her dad on the front. And then obviously I'm running. And for each mile, she had people that had sponsored her that had wanted to sponsor for a family member. And she had all of their names on the back. But then the last bit was for her dad.
Yeah. When I saw that t-shirt, that really like touched home, if that's the right way of saying it. Like it really triggered my emotions, and I was like, that's a genuinely a lovely idea.
Yeah. It was just really nice just to be part of that. Yeah. I mean, obviously I wasn't going anywhere near doing that marathon myself. But yeah, just being able to help out and
be a part of it.
Be a part of it.
And feel like you've helped out.
Exactly.
As well. Jumping around a little bit, I have one more thing I want to ask you about before we go to the more business inspiration side of things.
Okay.
The rebranding and neck labels. Do you currently offer that?
We don't really at the moment. We do our own little printed tags on, but it is something that we are looking
to invest in the future.
Yeah, we've got quite a few things happening at the moment. A bit of funds hopefully are going to free up over the next year or so. And that's when we're going to be investing in one of those lovely heat presses.
In one of those over there. Yep, got your eye on the auto open on the Fusion IQ, I feel.
100%,
I feel like 2025 is going to be a great year for a lot of businesses, because you're not the only people that I've spoken to. And we're only, what's the date today, like middle of February.
Yeah.
We're not that far into the year. And I've already spoken to quite a few people who are making moves to free up funds to invest in their business further. I was talking to another customer who I'm going to see in a couple of weeks, who are selling their house and going into rented accommodation so that they can put money into buying a unit, and then they're going to figure out the housing situation afterwards and things like that, where you sort of think, wow, it's a bit of a, it is, the people invest so much time and their energy, and I love that.
Sometimes you need to do that, just you need to take that jump.
I feel like 2025 is the year. I've had multiple conversations, and I'm so excited to see, fast forward to the end of the year without wishing it away, where everyone's at. Like, I want to see where you guys are at the end of the year. I want to see where this other customer's at. And just, I feel like there's going to be a lot of growth and a lot of business expansion this year.
Yeah. I mean, we've obviously expanded quite a bit with the embroidery machines.
Yeah.
We went from using a Silhouette Cameo to then getting the BN20. And then last year we got the BN220. We upgraded to a brand new one of that. And we're now looking at upgrading the embroidery machines and things like that. So there's so much that, all of our spare money generally goes back into the business. We invest in it.
Yeah. It's amazing because you're in a position to do that as well.
It's just lovely to be able to offer new things and just see things grow.
Yeah.
And that our hard work's paying off. So, yeah.
What would you advise somebody who is completely new to the print industry? They come to Styles and want a press, transfers, etc., and want to start their business for 2025. Mm-hmm. Knowing what you know now and the experience you've had over the last how many years of running Togs by Emma, what advice would you give a brand new printer in 2025?
Expect things to go wrong, but don't let it get you down.
Okay.
Because things will go wrong, but then you'll find that you'll learn from it and just keep trying to improve on what you're doing. But yeah, if you really want to do it and you've got the heart to do it, just go for it. It's only you stopping you. So, yeah, I'd say.
That is a fantastic
quote. Be a Motivation Monday. Hashtag Motivation Monday.
Beth's already clipped that for social media. That'll be on Instagram in a few weeks.
But yeah, it is. It's just, I think if you've got the desire to do it, then just go for it. Just take that step. Yes, you can start off with some of the cheaper bits out there, but having the good quality machinery really does make a difference as well.
Mm-hmm.
We've found, obviously, we started off with a really basic heat press and we're slowly upgrading it constantly. And obviously our next one's going to be the ones over there.
That'll last you forever.
I know, but it is. It's just growing the business is just being fantastic, and just learning from your mistakes that you make is the other thing.
Can you describe the feeling to me of when you look back over, how many years have you been running Togs now? 6 years?
8 years.
8-9 years? Nearly a decade. We'll go with nearly a decade.
Yeah, nearly 9 years.
Over the almost last 10 years, the feeling you've got looking back on that and where you're at now, describe that feeling to me of how your life has changed.
Awesome.
Yeah. We sleep better at night. As I say, we might not have, we gave up being able to have holiday, like family holidays, as much as what we used to and things like that. But the fact that we can now spend more time together as a family as well, quality time and just your own mental health. I wish we'd done it sooner. Seeing the change in Colin when he left the underground was just immense. He used to get quite upset and emotional with the stress and the regulations that went in with mm-hmm. the work and people not doing certain things that they should. But just seeing that stress come off of his shoulders, and now he just manages things so much better, so much calmer. He can process, and the little things don't get on you as much when you haven't got that stress.
Yeah.
Where sometimes all those little things build up to so much. But yeah, I wish we'd done it sooner. Mm. I really do.
What would you say is one of the biggest lessons you've learned over the last decade running your business?
It is probably just, yeah, as you say, just being open-minded, take the risks.
I think you already are quite open to where your business comes from anyway, even if you if you don't think that you are, because you don't say no to people.
Yeah.
So you're not limiting where your business
is
coming
from.
It's from
where you started, from where you are now. Your whole journey has been based around your customers, what they want and what you can offer them. It's not based around, well, I want to run X business and this is how I'm going to do it. If you don't like it, find another printer. Yeah. Like, that's not how you run your business
at all. No, it is keeping an open mind with everything that we do and just
evolving.
So
looking forward to this year then, we had a conversation before this podcast about things that are happening. We don't have to go into full detail, but what are some exciting things you're looking forward to this year? Where do you see the business going?
We're in the process of extending a property which we're going to be moving into and selling our property, and we currently work from the property that's been extended anyway. We've got the workshop there, so there's going to be a lot happening over the next year, which obviously once we've done that work and sold our property, that's going to free up the funds to expand the business.
It's a very exciting
and hopefully
time.
Lift the roof, literally, on our business as well. We've got a pitched roof at the moment on our little workshop, and we're going to make it a nice...
Metaphorically and physically raise the roof.
So that's coming. And then hopefully new machines.
Mm-hmm.
Which is just, we're really looking forward. It's an exciting time. There's just lots happening really positive.
You've put the hard work in, you've grafted, you've done all of it, and you're hitting the point now where it's getting to the point where you can expand, can really invest in it with confidence, knowing you've got your good customer base.
And the loyalty from our customers is, honestly, it's fantastic. It really is the repeat business that we get from them.
And the word of mouth that you get from new customers all comes from them as well.
Exactly. It's fantastic.
I have no more questions for you, Emma. Thank you very much
for
coming on
us
to the podcast. We've loved having you.
Thank you.
Do you want to share with everybody where they can find your business online, website, if anybody has questions for Emma, if you need custom apparel, where can they find you?
We are on Facebook and Instagram, LinkedIn, all under Togs by Emma.
Mm-hmm.
We have the website, which is togsbyemma.com. You can email us at sales@togsbyemma.com or give us a call. We're happy to discuss anything for anyone who needs any help with.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking with me today. I've really appreciated it. And for those of you watching, don't forget to like and subscribe, and we'll be back next week with another podcast episode.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you.